Live the Ticket.
All right, here we go. This is a big, very exciting. Very exciting.
Just, Miguel's out, by the way. They just put Miguel Cabrera out. Bottom of the sixth.
Why are you giving us a play-by-play?
It's the fun. I want to announce. I want to be the first one to announce the first run scored, hopefully, in this Twins season.
You won't be, because they have Dick Bremer on the TV. He'll beat you to it.
Radio.
Active sports. Thank you for saying that. Twins trivia, by the way. Three contestants playing Twins trivia. Winner receives a pair of tickets to the Twins home opener Monday, Target Field. Should be nice and sunshine. Highs in the mid to upper 60s is what it looks like, according to the meteorologists. Hopefully they know what they're talking about. A little rain today, but that'll be gone.
It'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful.
Everything's supposed to be nice this weekend. Sunshine, 60s. We have our three contestants. Let's start with number one. Jason from Buffalo, your contestant number one on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Three questions, all of them multiple choice, and you have the superstar Mike Morris as a lifeline.
Okay.
Capiche.
Capiche.
All right, here we go. Twins trivia. Question number one. Jason, the Minnesota Twins did not begin their franchise with the Twins name. Their franchise was one of eight teams in the new American League back in 1901. What was the team's first name? Today. The Washington Senators, B, the St. Louis Perfectos, B, C, the Providence Grays, or D, Cleveland Spiders?
A, Washington Senators.
A, Washington Senators is correct. He's getting a little bit harder now.
That's good work. That's good work right there.
Question number two, Jason.
I'm standing by. I'm your lifeline.
All right.
Question two, who drove in the winning run in Game 7 of the 1991 World Series? Is it A, Kirby Puckett? B, Gene Larkin, C, Brian Harper, or D, Mike Pagliarulo?
God, I want to say... I don't remember. Gene Larkin did it. I thought that was 1987. So, superstar, who was it?
I guess I would go with... which game was it again? Which game?
91.
This was game seven of 91.
I think it was Puckett.
A, Kirby Puckett, B, Gene Larkin, C, Brian Harper, D, Mike Pagliarulo.
I thought it was Puckett. Now it was game six. Whoa. It's not it. That's not it. Puckett is not it. And neither is Larkin. It's the third.
Larkin was 87.
It's the third one. It's Harper. Is it Harper?
Harper? I'll go with that.
You're going to go with Brian Harper. You're going to go with Brian Harper for sure?
Brian Harper, yep.
Jason, that is incorrect. You were right first off. Gene Larkin hit off Alejandro Pena in the 10th inning.
It was, dang it.
It was Gene Larkin. You're one for one.
I did what I could. Screw it up. I did what I could.
Playing Twins trivia for a pair of tickets to the Twins home opener. Question number three, Jason. This guy was the first player to go into the Hall of Fame as a Twin and the first to have his number retired by the team. Who is he? Is it A, Tony Oliva? B, Harmon Killebrew. C, Bob Allison. D, Rod Carew.
Let's say Harmon Killebrew.
Harmon Killebrew is correct.
Right.
All right, Jason, hold on. You are in the lead. You're the first contestant. You have...
Good job.
Two out of three. Let's go to contestant number two, West Side Phil. West Side Phil from White Bear Lake. Hey, what's going on, West Side Phil?
What's up, man? I hope I get those softball questions to that dude from Buffalo.
Listen, these are baseball questions, sir. These are baseball questions.
I know. It was like pinball questions. I had them all answered, but all right, go ahead, shoot.
All right, here we go. West Side Phil, question number one. Remember, three questions, all of them multiple choice. You have the superstar Mike Morris as your lifeline.
I'm the lifeline here.
Question number one. In which year did the franchise become the Minnesota Twins? Is it A, 1930, B, 1961, C, 1896, or D, 1995?
I will go with Bravo, 1961.
1961 is correct. Yeah. Question number two, West Bravo. Side Phil. Who started but did not win Game 6 of the 1987 World Series? Is it A, Burt Blyleven, B, Les Straker, C, Frank Viola, D, Joe Niekro?
Oh, man. All of them were on that squad, too. Lifeline. Give me a lifeline. I'm thinking of Blyleven, but...
And you were watching games because you were part of the St. Louis Cardinals football team at the time.
Yeah. Game six.
Game six.
Was that home or away?
I want to say that was at the Metrodome.
I'm going to say I'm going to say Bert be home by 11.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the circle me, Bert cry 11.
Unfortunately, West Side Phil, that is incorrect. It is Les Straker.
Oh, Les Straker.
Yep.
I didn't think he pitched in that one.
Sorry about that.
He pitched against Detroit, but yeah. I didn't know if he got in the card.
I was actually watching those games in person down in St. Louis from the dugout.
Yeah. Question number three, West Side Phil. You use your lifeline. Three questions, all of them multiple choice. This former twin suffered from Tourette syndrome. Who is he? A, Jim Eisenreich. B, Billy Bean. C, Pedro.
Yep.
Eisenreich is correct.
Yeah. Nice job.
Yep. Sorry. Yeah.
You're lucky you got a softball instead of a baseball question.
Yeah.
All right, West Side Phil, you're tied with Jason from Buffalo, so we're going to have a tiebreaker question at some point. Contestant number three is Zach from Woodbury. Just talked to you, Zach, on the phone. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Three questions,
all of them
multiple
choice.
Don't mess this up.
Superstar Mike Morris, your lifeline. We're playing for tickets to the Twins Home Opener Monday at Target Field. Question number one. Who was the Twins' first Cy Young Award winner? Is it A, Walter Johnson, B, Jim Perry, C, Johan Santana, D, Frank Viola?
Ooh, that's tough. Lifeline.
Let's try Frank Viola.
Frank Viola.
Musical instrument sounds good, Frank Viola.
What did you say?
The musical instrument sounds good. Let's go with Viola.
You're going with Frank Viola. That is incorrect. It's actually Jim Perry. Santana won his first Cy Young Award in 2004. Viola won the award in 88. Perry went 24-12 in 1970. He was the franchise's first. You have to get the last two, otherwise you're screwed, Zach.
Damn it. I messed that up.
Question two. The Twins have been to three World Series, winning twice and losing once. Which year did the Twins not win the World Series? A, 1991, B, 1973, C, 1987, D, 1965.
That'd be D, 1965, that against the Dodgers.
Sandy Koufax.
Yep.
That's incorrect.
Oh, that's come on. Funny. That's right.
Which year did the Twins... Were
not
the Twins,
win.
Were, did I say
not
win?
Win?
Did I say win? I'm sorry.
Well, not win.
Okay, I meant to say, were they not in the World Series? My fault. We'll get that one to you. We'll get that one to you, Zach. Right. I'm sorry. My fault. You're one for two. You have to get this one correct or you're screwed. My fault.
All right.
Question three. The Twins have always had good radio and television broadcasters. Which of these guys was on the air longer than any other? A, Dick Bremer. B, John Gordon. C, Herb Carneal. Or D, Halsey Hall.
Can you say them one more time for me?
The Twins have always had good radio and TV broadcasters. Which of these guys were on the air longer than any other? A, Dick Bremer. B, John Gordon. C, Herb Carneal. D, Halsey Hall.
B.
B, John Gordon?
Yep.
Correct.
I thought so, too.
John Gordon was there 25 years from 1987 to 2011. Halsey Hall was there 11 years, 61 to 72. Dick Bremer, 32 years. He's been there 83 to 85, then 87 to present. Herb Carneal, though, my man, 35 years, 62 to 2006.
Wow.
Zach, I appreciate the time, my man, but we got to let you go.
All right.
Good luck, my man. Thank you for calling.
That just sucked for him. I mean, you gave him some tough ones there.
All right. That's what happens. West Side Phil and Jason, you're both on the line. We have a tiebreaker for whoever wins the Twins opening day tickets Monday at Target Field, okay? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a question. The first person to shout out their name gets to answer first. Closest to the answer wins the tickets.
Okay.
Capiche? West Side, you there?
Okay. Capiche.
Yeah, West Side, too.
Okay. Jason, you there?
Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
Question. How many home runs did Joe Mauer hit in 2007?
West Side.
West Side.
24.
Jason, what's your guess?
23.
23 is closer. He actually hit 7 home runs in 2007. West Side, thanks for playing, my man, but we got to let you go as well. Jason, congratulations. You've got yourself a pair of tickets to the Twins home opener Monday against Kansas City. Target Field supposed to be sunny in mid-60s.
Hold on. You might be there for the first run scored, sir. You might be. You might be taking him to history.
That's not even funny.
I know. First run scored in 2015. Good luck with that. Thank you for your call, sir.
Got to take a break.
Going to take a little break. And you know what? Sam Ekstrom is up next. He's with Cold Omaha. And we're hoping for the very best from Sam. He normally will give us his best. He at least tries hard. Let's do that. Let's test him next.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
I mean, it could be a run play. It could be a pass play. We never really know until they get here. It's pretty safe, though, that if we're talking about Cliff Saunders, it will not be a three-pointer.
And what's the deal with that?
I don't get it. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be good. I do, too. And to have a guy like Andrew Wiggins on the team, you'd think that young man would like to put up a three-pointer.
But please, dear God, don't let him shoot three-pointers. That's what Sam Ekstrom says. Cliff Saunders has been saying. Sam Ekstrom, Cold Omaha, part of our writing team at 105theticket.com. New article, is Flip Saunders scared of three-point shots?
That's why we brought Sam Ekstrom in here to explain this. But is he really afraid, or are we just not able? I know he doesn't want Wiggins to make that part of his game.
What?
And I'm not sure why he said that.
He's an old-school guy, and a lot of people have questioned him all year. And when you dig into the numbers, it's really baffling why Flip Saunders is so averse to the three-point shot. If you look at the state of the NBA right now, a lot of the top teams rely heavily on the three-point shot. You've got Cavaliers, Hawks, Warriors, Rockets. Those are probably the top two seeds in each conference. And they have some of the best three-point efficiency in the league. They rely the least on long twos or mid-range jump shots, which I get sick of when I watch the Timberwolves. I see guys like, I know he's hurt right now, but Anthony Bennett take long twos. Andrew Wiggins has a lot of pull-up 20-footers, which in today's NBA, because of these analytics we have determined that you're better off taking a slightly more difficult three-point shot than going with a slightly easier, maybe 2-3% better chance of making it, two-point shot, and Flip Saunders has yet to embrace that.
Drives me insane that Minnesota sports teams always seem to be behind the trend that's going on. What is it that the Oakland A's do? What's that called?
Moneyball.
Moneyball. The Twins. That's stupid. We're not going to do that. Vikings. Everybody else in the NFL playing a deep ball, throwing the ball all over the place. We'll just keep.
You have to have someone that can get down the field. Well, we're used to with Moss.
Maybe draft somebody or sign as somebody that can.
Troy
make
Williamson.
That happen.
You mean?
Yeah. Christian Ponder. Two of the greatest people of all time. The Timberwolves doing the same thing. It just drives me absolutely up the wall.
Here's some numbers for you. Wiggins, 32% shooter from three-point range, which is pretty decent, pretty respectable. But he's only attempted 120. Now, for perspective, of the top 30 shooting forwards in the NBA in terms of games played, Wiggins has attempted the third fewest, which means he's barely shooting any three-point shots. And it's not like the Timberwolves don't have guys that are able to shoot threes. It's not just Wiggins. They've got guys like LaVine and Rubio,
that's all he does,
Kevin Martin. And he's not even ranked that highly. I mean, he leads the team in three-point attempts, but he's 121st in the NBA. So the one guy who's gunning...
But he hasn't played very often.
He's played
either.
36 games this year.
Oh, God.
But what does that say? The guy who's played 36 games is leading your team in three-point attempts when you have other younger guys at malleable points in their career when they should be developing the long ball.
Yeah, I'm all aboard with this, with taking more long balls. It makes no sense.
Doesn't surprise me you like long balls.
And check these out. But why did we have to go that direction? We made this something completely different. I want to know why Flip is like this and why he goes against the grain when he actually is the guy that sort of has had some of the trendiest players and some of the people that, you know, like John Wall and Kevin Garnett and some of the people that, why doesn't he understand that Wiggins is easily that kind of guy?
And oddly enough, Flip has actually always been like this. If you look back to the Minnesota Timberwolves of old around the year 2000, 2001, 2, and 3, they were always in the bottom 10 in three-pointers attempted. When he went to Detroit, he had guys like Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, and he took them from a top 10 three-point shooting team to a bottom 10 three-point shooting team.
I hate him already. Can we stop talking about him? This is making me hate him. I mean, there are guys like Gary Neal, who is a three-point shooting specialist. They traded Mo Williams for him. Kevin Martin lives on the three-point line. That's where he made all of his money in the NBA. What he said in your article, and I think you can probably say it better than I can, where he said he doesn't want Andrew Wiggins, he doesn't want the three-pointer to become a big part of Andrew Wiggins' game. And I get the fact that I don't want him sitting out there on the three-point line just waiting either. He's so athletic. He can dunk. He can do this. He can do that. But I want him to be able to practice enough and to be able to hit open three-pointers, because those are daggers. We just got done watching the March Madness tournament, the whole bracket deal. We watch the NBA games quite often. Three-pointers put teams away.
And three-pointers open up your driving lanes, too. And for a guy like Andrew Wiggins, who's got such long strides, who's so athletic, who can really jump, you want players on defense to be able to close out on you, knowing that you can shoot a three-point shot at any point. You're going to be a threat anywhere on the floor. You don't want to have a weakness on the perimeter when you're going to be a superstar like Andrew Wiggins. And if players have to genuinely close him out, that's just going to open it up for Andrew Wiggins to drive to the basket. And Flip, like he said in his quote last night that angered so many people, he doesn't want Wiggins to be complacent. Well, that's fair, but you also don't want him to not develop this shot. I mean, look back when Kevin Love was coached by Kevin McHale for a short time. McHale encouraged him to take threes, develop the shot, and he became one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA eventually.
I think you have to think that way, too. I mean, there's a fine line between when to take the shot. You have to understand when to take the shot, pick a shot, and then take it, meaning a three. But you have to have one developed to be able to have that choice, to even have that option. You don't want a guy that's going to run and gun and just shoot from outside and then, for whatever reason, miss, and now his confidence is no longer, he can't pull the trigger on it anymore. And then you are in trouble. Then you have asked him to do something he can't do anymore. But I think that being selective and having that part of your game developed, you have to have that first. And now how's he? Anyway, I agree completely. I really do.
The Timberwolves have taken the fewest three-point shots in the NBA, way fewer than even the team above them. They've taken just over 1,100 three-point shots. Now, keep this in mind. The Houston Rockets, a team that has revolutionized the NBA, they've taken 2,500 three-point shots. That's more than twice what the Timberwolves have taken. And in a throwaway season, when you've won 16 games, why not adopt this more modern method of NBA play that so many teams have done successfully? But when you have guys that are 20, 21 years old, Shabazz Muhammad, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Muhammad's a 40% three-point shooter when he was playing this year, but he was only taking about two threes per game because, Flip Saunders has said, he doesn't draw up plays for beyond the arc.
It's amazing, isn't it? It really is. 40%, and you're not taking that many shots, but you're making almost everything. You're making almost half. That puzzles me. It used to be played above the rim. It used to be everything was inside game and paint, and the dunks from everywhere. They figured out that the more dangerous shot, obviously, is the three. If you can shoot those and be ahead of the dunking game, obviously, because you have the extra point, then develop the outside game. That's where the NBA's gone. It's not a dunk fest anymore. It's shooting that ball from outside and being an assassin.
It's both.
There's a huge shift back to the three.
Oh,
I mean, since like the mid-90s, early 90s.
I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors, probably the best team in basketball. Clay Thompson, a bunch of other guys. We won a lot of games last year and the years before. Kevin Love shooting the three. Drives me nuts. Sam Ekstrom, Cold Omaha, the head guy there at 105theticket.com. New article is Flip Saunders scared of the three-point shots. What do you have coming up this weekend? You're also the host of The Wake-Up Call, Cold Omaha Sunday mornings from 8 to 10.
We're going to talk a little bit of hoops. We're probably going to recap the Tyus Jones masterpiece for Monday's game. We're going to have Zach Bennett of Canis Hoopus put a bow on the Wolves season, which is drawing to a close. And we're also going to try to get a writer from the City of the Wild's playoff opponent. Now, we don't know who that is yet. It could be St. Louis, could be Nashville, could be Anaheim, but we're going to try to get someone behind enemy lines, get some intel on the Wild's playoff opponent, which we'll know on Saturday.
Cool.
Thank you, Sam. My segment is up next. It's Mike's break.
Oh, that scares me.
This just in, though. I mean, breaking news. Can we have some breaking news?
No,
over there?
It's not.
Get
it's
the
not,
breaking
no.
news. Hurry.
Hurry?
Just do it. You do what you're
surely
told.
You can't be serious.
This better
be Tiger
good.
Woods has scolded himself on the golf course. He has scolded himself on the golf course after an errant shot at the Masters, saying, "Oh, Tiger, dumbass."
Did he really?
Breaking news, what? Okay? Come on back. It's Mike's break next.
Your home for hockey talk in the...
Chewy, sit down. I'm listening. That's like a little AC/DC to come into one of my breaks. What? What did you say, Jerry?
Nothing, there's anything wrong with that.
Okay, well, I didn't say there was anything wrong anyway.
I don't want that girl
Tommy. Tommy. Why would you wish that upon anybody?
What?
She was an archivist.
What would you say?
She was an archivist.
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Don't touch my stapler. Or that.
Hello?
What? What? Coach Lou, did you get caught up in something there?
What? Well, I don't get the rain band comb.
Some bitch is slick, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
I took pride in my hair.
Little slick balls out there. I've handled dozens of balls in my life. Snapped a lot of balls.
Bet you have.
Minnesota Wild play tonight.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they play. They play against the Memphis Predators.
No, Nashville. Nashville Predators.
They're going to be sitting some guys down. Dubnyk sits.
Mm-hmm.
Parisi sits. Niederreiter. Vanek. Is that the right move for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you play some of these guys into this thing? They came off a three-game skid, got qualified two nights ago.
I don't know why Vanek needs to sit. It's not like he does anything.
We're going to be positive. We're going to be about our Wild.
Why not sit Ryan Suter?
Why?
Because he plays more. He's on the ice more time than any other player in the NHL. Maybe give him a break instead of Vanek.
No, why aren't they? The good question. Why are they not?
Maybe they will on Saturday. I don't know.
So
you're
going to rotate them through like that and keep the rust off of.
I mean, I completely get Zach Parise. Zach Parise is
missing teeth. He's got cuts all over his face. It's been a long year.
Zach Parise's right up there with Ryan Suter when it comes to ice time. He's right up there with Devan Dubnyk for the key reason why he may not be scoring all of the goals, but he's a two-way player, and he plays just as hard. He leaves his guts and his glory and his teeth and everything, blood out there on the ice. We've seen it several times this year. Zach Parise, Ryan, and the Dubinator. I get why they're sitting down.
I'm surprised. Vanek?
I don't get it.
Big contributor here lately, though. He's kind of lived up to his name and what we thought he was going to be when he got here.
He's all right.
You don't give him a chance to get through the playoffs, do you? You don't give him a chance to even get past the first round. I can tell.
No, I do.
You do?
I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup World Series.
The baseball World Series or the card game World Series?
Card game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm big on this. I just think it's exciting.
Of course, it's exciting.
I think that Yo's got the right idea and the right flavor based on what happened last year.
Take it from a guy who is not particularly a hockey guy. I love hockey. I love the Minnesota Wild. I watch every single game. Never played hockey. I played basketball. I played baseball. I played football. Played soccer.
How long did you play football for?
Every day in the backyard.
That's a lot of football, I'm guessing. From what age did you start playing football? Did you play in high school?
I played in utero.
You what?
I played in utero.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I was twins. I had a twin, and my twin beat me one time, and I ate him. So that's why I have teeth coming out of my neck on the side over here.
Well, yeah, I see. I wondered what that was, too, and I wondered why you wore like turtlenecks all the time. Did you play up through high school in football?
No.
You played, but you were all basketball.
Yeah,
and you're like me. You never played a single. I'm guessing you may have never had skates on at all, like me.
No, I've had skates on.
Have you really?
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah. Oh, I love stopping.
Hockey skates or figure skates?
Just because I can do questions. A triple toe loop doesn't mean that I haven't skated. No, I hockey skates.
Well, down in Iowa, we only have one sort of maneuver that we call it a maneuver down in Iowa.
When you're
figure skating, it's called a triple sow cow.
Yeah. You know, my cousin grew up in southern Minnesota back in Laverne, the Cardinals, back in the day.
Okay.
They've been to the state championship. They were here. I think we played a game on 105 The Ticket, the boys' high school state tournament. And my aunt bought me a left-handed stick for some reason. I'm not left-handed, but now I shoot left-handed.
Maybe she thought you were amphibious.
I do have
skills. Ambidextrous.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. She didn't know. Maybe she thought you were left-handed.
In South Dakota, they had one hockey team. I didn't even really know what hockey was, to be honest.
You did not put the skates on and at least try to go out there and skate them.
I watched when the North Stars went to the Stanley Cup Finals because it was a big deal.
Sure, absolutely. But, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm newer to hockey. I'm probably about 10 years in. Well, 12 years in, because I think
this
it was 2003
yeah.
playoff run was awesome. There's nothing better than hockey playoffs, and I am a huge football fan. I'll watch any football game.
Yeah, I knew that.
I don't care if it's the Cincinnati Bengals against the Cleveland Browns or the Jacksonville Jaguars versus some team that sucks. I don't care. I will watch it.
Yeah,
baseball,
me too.
If there's nothing going on, meh. Basketball, for sure. I'm a big basketball fan. Hockey, just... So many players of names that I just hard to pronounce, but I'll watch every single Wild game. Every single Wild game I go home and watch.
The 2003, was that with, like, against the Avalanche and then Vancouver?
Yeah.
Was that the two teams they faced in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Because I've been on board about the, same time.
Bertuzzi?
Yeah, Todd Bertuzzi.
Oh, God,
yeah,
I hated that.
I love to hate
bitch.
That bastard.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Hated him.
But I have been a hockey fan for about the same time that you have. I went out to the North Stars, though, when I first got here with the Vikings. I used to go over to the North Stars.
Oh, good for you.
I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yep.
Y'all bet you didn't go.
I didn't live here then.
I know. See, that you didn't get to go. I'm one up on you there. But I'm hoping for the best on this thing. They say this is who they are. They say they've been playing... playoff hockey the whole time, trying to get back in this thing. Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that mentality, is that they won't be overly shocked by the intensity level of being in playoff hockey. I think they've had to literally put it on high this whole time to get back to where they're at.
Mm.
Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Well, it's good that you do. I'm glad you do.
What did you say again? I wasn't even listening.
What are you reading?
I'm trying to,
paying attention.
No, I'm reading.
What are you reading right now? Talk to me. I'm trying to keep you on hockey, and you are not on task.
Sorry, I'm trying to do my taxes. That's not.
I don't want you to text and drive. I don't want you to text and do radio either.
It's not true. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I think we can win tonight. We've had a lot of success.
I don't care about tonight, but
we split 2-2 with the Nashville Predators. I don't care about tonight either.
Well, how important is it to beat a team that you're probably going to face? It could happen. It could very likely happen. Do you want to mosey in there and not take them seriously?
No, you want to take them seriously, but I don't think you want to lay it all on the ground or
show them everything.
You don't. I mean, they know you pretty well. The Nashville Predators, we played them a bunch of times. St. Louis Blues played them a bunch of times as well. Probably going to play the Predators the way it's shaping up right now in the playoffs, first round. You definitely want to save your guys. I just don't understand why Ryan Suter's not playing. Or why he is playing, that's what I meant to say.
Well, you've messed that up then.
I don't know.
Messed up what you were trying to say then.
Trying to do my taxes and it's so damn complicated.
What do you need help with? Did you fill out any of those DW-40 forms?
I don't even know, I'm kidding.
It's oil anyway, it's car oil.
WD-40?
Yeah. Let's come out. You want to talk Masters?
Yeah.
I'm a master at that kind of stuff.
I would doubt it.
We're going to come back and we'll talk the talk. I mean, Spieth is the big deal. Is he going to be happy on Sunday? 8-under in the clubhouse.
He was rated number one in the power rankings. We talked about that going in yesterday. Tiger Woods tied for 41st place, I want to say.
41st.
At least he's still in the hunt.
Garcia's up there. He's
only nine shots back.
Yeah, it's good.
Throwing clubs all over the place. So dropping clubs, throwing them, talking to himself, saying, damn it.
He's
come on, Tiger.
He's scolding himself. He called himself a dumbass today. Come on back. We're back in black a little bit right now. We're talking about the Masters. First day starts today, of course, and this kid is something else. This Jordan Spieth. You want to talk about whooping some ass. He was one stroke off the course record of 63.
When this music plays, we have to talk like this.
Jordan Spieth. Kept up his hot play on the PGA Tour with a brilliant opening round at the Masters, shooting an 8-under 64 on Thursday for a three-stroke lead right now. Selecting one club after another, perfect shots, stiffing the pin, stiffing almost anything he saw on the course.
Your guy Ricky Fowler is tied at 41st with
Ricky's
Tiger Woods.
Ricky's got the wrong hat and he cut his hair.
Did he cut his hair? Does he still have that weird mustache and beard thing going on?
Reports are that he's cut his hair. And he's a whole different kind of guy right now.
Does he have the Puma icon tattooed on his face yet? Because it's everywhere else in his body and he likes to wear fuchsia and Easter colors. Looks like an Easter basket without the Easter grass.
And word has it that Fowler will be carving the porn mustache.
You, honest to God, would make a really good golf play-by-play guy because you have the perfect golf whisper talk.
Thank you very much. The ungulations. He finds his ball in the second cut, right off the 15th apron.
Jordan Spieth is leading his eight under.
Eight under par.
And
wonderful round of golf today.
Shot a 64.
Looking for the green jacket.
Rated number one in our power rankings yesterday as we are heading into the Masters. Tied at two, Charlie Hoffman, Justin Rose, Ernie Els, and Justin Day at five under.
Tiger Woods just a bit off the pace today at one over par. Should also be noted that Rory McIlroy, only one under par today for McIlroy.
My guy Russell Henley, your guy Russell Henley and my guy Sergio Garcia.
Every shot in the bag.
Are tied at four under par.
So we have a Cinderella story developing there. So let's... it's a long, long, long major tournament, four-day event. Let's not give it to Jordan Spieth yet.
Phil Mickelson, man boobs, left-hander, tied for 12th place, two under par, shot a 70 today. Tom Watson, one under.
Two under par.
Bubba Watson, one under.
Two under par. The man rack, two under par. Tom Watson at the age of 92.
Rory McIlroy,
one under par. Rory McIlroy.
Grand
body McDowell, like a Greek god.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods. Did we mention Tiger Woods one over par?
And that's
pretending to be part of the Masters. And that's it, I guess. That's our Masters coverage right there. I hope everyone loved that. More of that. You can expect more of that tomorrow. That's how we do the Masters coverage. Now I'm stuck in this. Good. I'm stuck doing this.
Good.
We're going to take a break, I guess. I'm tired of doing that. I'm finished with it. We can come back and do my stuff.
I'd like to play my Iron Man little
we can
ode.
We can do the little vignette for Dubnyk.
I'd like to play that for Dubnyk. He's sitting out tonight.
You want to play it right now?
No, when we come back.
Okay.
A tribute to the Dubinator.
Next, right here.
He showed poise in the net, and obviously his size. You know, they had the first scoring chance of the game. Made a good save, and that was big. Obviously, if they score there, then we start to press a little bit, and probably changes the, just the appearance of the whole game. But, I like the way he was playing pucks, too, behind the net. Came out, stopped a couple plays, and relieved the pressure in a few situations. So, definitely a good start.
That was probably one of the most complete games that I've been a part of, start to finish. It was fun to be a part of that, and nice to have the guys come out and work that hard for me.
Ahead by Schultz. Schultz is in! Sprawling save by Dubnyk!
Nobody helps him. Now he has his revenge.
Final seconds. Brody fires. Blocked to the Bufflin. Has it blocked by Green? And the win in Calgary.
Little for Bufflin. Bufflin watched by Koivu. A shot deflected. Ladd on the backhand. Didn't get much of it. Little and a sprawling save by Dubnyk.
Exciting. Obviously we've talked lots about the way the guys have played for me, and to get the personal recognition is obviously it feels good, and nice to have a couple days between games where you can kind of sit back and enjoy it, and we'll enjoy it for today and forget about it tomorrow and be right back at it.
Yeah, I'll be ready to play tomorrow. Plan on playing every game from here on out, and if they tell me otherwise, then that's great, and if not, I'll be ready to play. So that's not up to me, and I'll just be ready when I get the puck. I'm really enjoying this. It's fun to be a part of where these games matter, and you can watch the games and care about the results because they matter. It's a fun thing to do, and it's good to take a rest, but pretty rare. It's a good chance for us to use it and get ready for a strong push.
Final rush for the Hawks. Down to goal. Side driving against Scandella. One hand shot. we've been in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs for a long time. It's been playoffs for us. So I'm excited to have the opportunity to get in the real thing. You know, it's been kind of two peaks, one valley and one peak, and whatever needed to happen to set me up to be in a situation like this with this group of guys and to be able to play in a city like this it was worth it.
Tonight by Dubnyk.
It feels really good, and the way the city and the fans have embraced me has been really special to me.
Final, by the way, the Twins go down 7-1, but they scored a run, so hallelujah. We're back in it here, everybody.
And I think, you know, first of all, I'd like to make sure that everyone knows that I had every intention of announcing the Minnesota Twins' first run of 2015, but Ben Holson made sure that I was preoccupied with some silly little radio show game that we had going on, Twins Trivia.
Is that when it happened?
Yeah. That's when it happened.
Oh.
And then, you know, the program director got to come in and tell me that there was a run scored already. And I didn't get to announce it. I wanted to be the first one. You did not allow me that chance. Now I have to wait till next year.
Sorry.
Or I can wait till, like, game 75 to announce the second run. anyway, we are back. And
I wish we had our way back machine, because we could put you in that biatch and send you back there and go do it.
Is that right?
But we don't have our Wayback Machine anymore. When the show kind of splintered, Bob Sansevier took it.
What?
And
he took what?
The Wayback Machine.
Where'd he take it? Way back?
I don't know what he's done with it. He's not using it.
He probably put it out there on his property.
Oh,
didn't he?
I found
that
it.
New, at that
here,
new place.
Here we go.
I remember now. Seems like it was just yesterday. I saw Bob dragging that machine out of here, too. It's just a hot tub.
What year are you in right now?
1985.
Okay, well, I got to do it again then. I'm trying to send you to 515. Go.
You've overdone it. I mean, but you didn't. You
sorry,
didn't,
it's not 515.
You didn't set. No, hold on. It was supposed to be like just yesterday.
542.
I'm still in yesterday. I'm going to have to go back to like a couple hours.
No.
Fix it.
Go back to 542 here.
No, I know.
Son of a bitch. You're so hard
Son
to work
of a bitch. I know, but you're setting the time machine, go. Stupid ass. Oh, by the way, run just scored. Maurer. Driven in by Torrey Hunter. It doesn't even mean anything to me anymore. I remember
now we're back to present day.
I'm back
in
present day,
so
I'm back now. Thanks.
Stop screwing around.
I want to be the guy. I want to be the guy from now on. And I also want to be the guy that finally finds out. I'm going to be.
What guy?
Now it's the first run.
Well, it's already done.
I know that, but I wanted to be that first guy, and I want to be able to tell you exactly how much. The Viking players that were involved, now they're not players yet. 30 guys have been invited down to Winter Park. They've been here for, I think, 2 or 3 days. I got word back from one of the officials from the team that he was out of town, but they normally take these guys to a country club, fairly posh country club.
One of the nicer country clubs.
A very, very nice one. That's what they normally do when these crews are brought in every year before the draft. Top 30 players, prospects that they're looking at in the draft, to come in and just sort of chit-chat. They are not allowed to work them out. They are not allowed to time them. They can chat. It's sort of a character sort of assessment.
And a lot of the guys that they were bringing in have baggage. One was kicked off the team. Another one tested positive for weed at the combine a couple times while they were in college.
So this is like, I think, an understanding that they want with some of the guys that might be steals in the draft if you're willing to take a risk on them. So I think they have some extra time where they set these guys down and they say, look, this is your big moment. This is like Chantrell Henderson with the Bills. They must have had the same sort of conversation with him. You can't mess up anymore. You can't go back to doing what you've been doing. It doesn't work. You stand a chance to make millions of dollars, and you can't blow it. And we're going to give you a chance, but we have to have an understanding, and I have to be able to trust you. I think that's what some of these guys are here for. I think that, for me, that's what this is. It's not just a picnic.
No.
But you're right. Like, three or four names were guys that are like, they're considered problem children. They've got issues.
Doriel Green Beckham, Marcus Peters, Randy Gregory. Yeah.
And they also have had the big timers in here, too, now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they got my guy, Trey Waynes, in here. And we're going to find out how much the tab was when they took them all out to eat at the same time.
Twins set a record today, by the way. Sorry to switch gears on you.
True.
Did you hear about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know how many innings they went.
24 straight scoreless innings pitched. No, the Detroit Tigers set an AL record with 24 straight scoreless innings pitched. Shane Green, 8 innings pitched. Cal Gibson, 6 earned runs.
We weren't that far off the record for starting as a Twins team with scoreless innings. Mm. So we can get involved with some of that, too, if you want to. We can talk that talk. There's also a big thing going on with the Wild tonight.
Big game.
I think it's about as big as it gets. When you're talking about some of the things.
Are you on crack?
It's as big as it gets.
No, it doesn't.
Not this game. The season and where it stands right now. It's a celebration for them, I think, every night from here on into their way back into the playoffs. And it took from the All-Star break until two nights ago against the Chicago Blackhawks, of all people. For them to finally get in.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, it is. This is a big deal. Can you imagine? They have some time to sort of recuperate and rest. They're resting 3-4 top guys right now. Dubnyk and Parise, Vanek.
And Nino.
And Niederreiter. I think it's a big deal. Not this game. We'll take a little break. Come on back. Sillier side of sports and the true superstar. And maybe another key message from one of our sponsors.
Sillier side of sports, superstar Mike Morris. I can't stop laughing watching these cops race after this goat.
Where's the chase taking place?
There's a goat on the loose in Bristol today on the ESPN campuses where they do Sports Center. There's just cops trying to run after this goat, and it's outrunning them because obviously goats, they get scared of human beings. Because
of course they do.
Oftentimes human beings, well, especially males, like to do the ditty with them for some reason. A lot of people get
funny how that works. Down in Iowa, we're very accustomed to some of those things happening down there. That's why a lot of guys wear button-up jeans. Because goats and some cattle can hear a zipper from about a mile away. Okay, so anyway, what were you saying? So, I mean, was this like an event?
I don't know. Somebody dropped off a goat.
I mean, they might have been throwing there might have been a competition right there outside of ESPN.
Somebody dropped off a goat, and the receptionist saw it. They couldn't get it. They called 911. The cops came. Honest to God, cops came to try, and they're running all over the campus of ESPN at Bristol trying to get this dang thing. I'm surprised it has black fur. I'm surprised they just didn't shoot it.
Oh. Wow.
As it's running away from us.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously what's been all over the news, and that's what they like to do for some reason.
Yeah.
Some of them.
They
not
do.
All
some,
of them. Cops are great people, except for the ones that are on the news.
Have you ever
Those
seen
guys are idiots.
The rodeos where they let the monkeys who are riding on dogs herd goats?
Yeah, that's funny.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I like that. I kind of like that myself. What do you got for sillier side of sports, though?
The Timberwolves are brilliant, right?
Of course they are.
Andrew Wiggins is going to win the Rookie of the Year because the Timberwolves PR team, public relations team, marketing team are brilliant. Because they are sending Andrew Wiggins socks. Not the socks that he wears, but like number 22 with Andrew Wiggins on them.
Well, yeah.
To voting members.
I mean, if you want a pair of socks, numbered socks, you'd be in this right away, wouldn't you?
I mean, I wore a pair of Pugs Not Drug socks yesterday, but they're fancier, I would say, than just regular old white tube socks.
They were designer socks, I saw.
Well, I wouldn't say designer.
I have Captain America socks I got for Christmas.
Then that's basically what these Andrew Wiggins socks are. They're like comical, cartoon-type socks.
All right, well.
And that's what the Minnesota Timberwolves think that is going to push Andrew Wiggins over the top.
Quite a ploy.
Yeah.
Quite a ploy. To try and get him in there. Maybe just the way he plays would do it.
Oh, by the way, yeah, he does lead all rookies in points in several other categories. So he should be a shoo-in.
He's a great player.
A 32-year-old English teacher who was married with 3 kids admitted in court today that she had sex with a 16-year-old student in a forgiving plea deal that gets her out of serving any prison time or having to register as a sex offender. Former Destrehan High School teacher Shelley Dufresne was arrested in September after the teen in question started bragging to friends at the St. Charles Parish in Louisiana, the school there, that he had slept with 2 teachers. An investigation later revealed that the unidentified teen had had relations with both his current English teacher at the time, Dufresne, and his English teacher from the prior year, 24-year-old Rachel Respis, including an alleged threesome with both at Respis's house. Where were these teachers when I was going to school? While she was on house arrest,
I don't know.
Dufresne was allowed to attend Jazzercise. Thank God for that. If you wondered who snitched, the kid bragged to his friends, who obviously weren't good at keeping a secret or were extremely jealous, so they ended up telling somebody and it gets back. That's why if you're ever going to, you know, do that, you just got to, it's one of those things that you learn when you get older. You just got to, don't kiss and tell.
He had his way, didn't he? I mean, he must be something else. He must be quite the young man for both these older women, English teachers, to think that that was worth it.
Three kids married, by the way.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I mean, I hope she learns.
Yeah. Chuck Woody Okafor, the dad of Duke center Jahlil Okafor. We say his name now because we want nothing to do with him on the Timberwolves, by the way.
It doesn't even matter to me.
He's claiming his son is the best basketball player to ever come out of Chicago.
Hold on. Dad, did you watch the championship game? He's not. You can say what you want to.
Chuck Woody Okafor said, quote, Jahlil is the best player to ever come out of Chicago. My son's absolutely the most decorated player ever from the city.
All right.
He says, Jay Okafor, I guess that's what he calls his son, who's only 19, is already an NCAA champion, first-team All-American.
Well, he did it.
Three-time FIBA gold medalist and has been the MVP of almost every game he's ever played.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of maybe a couple other guys from Chicago. Dwayne Wade?
He was from there, wasn't he?
Derrick Rose?
He was from Chicago as well.
Kevin Garnett?
He wasn't born and raised there, but he finished
his
prep school there.
Isaiah Thomas? Jabari Parker?
I think he's forgotten a couple, two or three.
Anthony Davis? Which might be the new best player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got the brow.
Tim Hardaway. I mean, these are all pretty good players. His dad.
I think that, and you know, I think that there might have been another false statement there when he said, he's been like the MVP of all the big tournaments. Wait, do you know Tyus Jones? I don't think Okafor was, he wasn't mentioned as the MVP, was he, or the outstanding player in the 2015 tournament? He wasn't. Because Tyus Jones, our very own.
Sillier side of sports. Police say a woman poured barbecue sauce on her husband and went after him with a knife in each hand on Tuesday, according to an arrest report made public yesterday. Vivian Palmer, 30, faces charges of battery, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and resisting an officer. She was released late Tuesday from Palm Beach County Jail on a $5,000 bail. Though she refused to speak with police and told them to leave her home, her husband said the two were arguing about getting a divorce. You see, things turned violent and his wife came after him, damaging property along the way. Police noted the home appeared to be ransacked in the report. He said his wife ripped off his shirt, poured barbecue sauce on him, hit him. When he tried to fight back, he realized she had grabbed butcher knives from the kitchen and had one in each hand, so he ran outside.
Seems to be like an overreaction.
On whose part?
His.
His part?
For me, anyway. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it seems to me like she's trying to make up with him, and she's trying to say, "You're so hot, I'm going to pour barbecue sauce on you."
Either that, or she wanted to grill on the
Barbie.
I'm
going to come and get you. I don't know. I mean, people are so. Can you imagine that really happens in this world? People are really like that. They really do stuff like that.
In Florida, it happens all the time.
How do you rip his shirt off? Say, hold on right there. Your shirt's ripped, but I'm going to need to go get some barbecue sauce. Just a second. I'm going to get a big bottle of barbecue sauce. Let me just... Can I put some of this on you? Okay, good. Because here it goes. Yeah. It's not easy to pour barbecue sauce. And then she ran and got two knives.
Yeah. Tomorrow, another big show. Marsh Hallberg Criminal Defense. We'll talk to Brian Murphy, Pioneer Press. Irvin Santana, wrote a new article about Irvin Santana.
This Murphy guy, he's something
great.
Else.
He's great.
He's amazing.
Jim Rich.
He's amazing. Jim Rich is amazing.
Checking with the Masters, all that good stuff. But take us home, my friend.
I'm going to take you home. I'm going to give you a true superstar. Marine Lance Corporal John F. Farias is my true superstar, just 20 years of age, from New Braunfels, Texas, assigned to the 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force out of Camp Pendleton, California, died June 28th while conducting combat operations in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. That was in 2011. I've been going back and trying to pull and retrieve some of these names from the past that I have not been able to get to over the past 13 years. And this is one of those young men, a brave, brave soldier, and I'm going to mention his name, even if I have to go back 4 years to get it. 20 years of age, Marine Lance Corporal John F. Farias. The true superstar.